Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When Egypt let Israel go, they loaded them up with all they needed. They would later find out why. God wanted them to learn how to give. Today, more lessons from the book of Exodus on giving as worship and why we need to learn them. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Israel is building a tabernacle using resources they got on the way out of Egypt. Let's learn more about worship that God accepts.
Now, we need to think about this. When this was happening to the Israelites, what were they thinking? I know what they were thinking. They were human beings like me. I know exactly what I'd be thinking. I'd be thinking, you know, this is really, really my lucky day. That's what I'd be thinking. Wouldn't you be thinking that? And you know, it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to get a windfall. Suddenly, you get the money and it's not wrong because money is important. And so I would, wasn't it, I saw the movie more than 30 years ago, Fiddler on the Roof. Isn't it Tevye who comes out of the barn and says, well, because the young guy is telling him, you know, money is a curse and all this. And doesn't Tevye say something like this? Well, it is no disgrace to be poor. But on the other hand, it's no great honor either, he says. Right? It's no disgrace to be poor, but it's no great honor either. I would have been really happy. They're probably taking all the gold that the Egyptians would have given me. That's what they were thinking. But you know what God was thinking? God was thinking tabernacle. They had no idea that they were going to build a tabernacle. But that's what God was thinking. And when we have a windfall in our life, we're thinking, oh, it's my lucky day. Praise God. I got that bonus. You know what God is thinking? God is thinking kingdom. God is thinking ministry. We're thinking how lucky we are. God has something else in mind. You know, I thank God for rich people. Sometimes people are critical of the rich and they say, oh, you know, they've got all this money. And oftentimes it's resentment. Oftentimes it's our own jealousy toward those that we consider rich. But I'll tell you something. I've met some rich people in my life and I thank God that they see that their wealth is not through the strength of their own right hand, but their wealth is for ministry. And because God has so blessed them financially, they are able to bless ministries with huge gifts that are necessary. When it comes to greed, greed is an equal opportunity sin. It is found in the poor as well as in the rich. But you know what God is thinking when he thinks of our money? He's thinking kingdom, and we're thinking, oh, isn't that great? I have all of these investments. I've met people who say how wonderful it would have been if I'd have just given my money to something permanent, to something eternal, because I've lost so much anyway because of the stock market situation. Would have been better to give it away. Listen, God is teaching us. We're going to learn together. As we think about the future and as we think that the economic situation is so uncertain, God is teaching us. And when God asks us to do something, he enables. He didn't ask them to give something they didn't have. He said, I gave it to you, and now you can use it. And the Bible says that it is God who gives you the ability to beget wealth. God gives you the ability to beget wealth. And God says, all this silver, all this gold, all this linen, all the acacia wood is mine. I've given it to you, but I'm thinking kingdom, and I'm thinking ministry. Number two, very important lesson. The more willingly we give, the more willingly we worship. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, and I'll paraphrase it for you. verses 16 and 17. God says that the young men are to come before me, and each is to bring an offering. And then he says this, "Let no man come before the Lord empty-handed. Let him give according to the way in which God has blessed him. Let no man come before the Lord empty-handed." You say, well, that's different because we're in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, "I'm glad that you're giving toward my need," but he said, it's not because my need is the overwhelming reason why you give, but he says, "Your offering is a sweet savor before the Lord." It is an offering for the Lord. And that's why we are genuinely speaking the truth when we say that giving is more necessary for you than it is for ministry. Somehow the ministry will muddle through, but it is what it does for you as an act of worship, where you say, "God, this is my gift." Oftentimes before the offering here at the Moody Church, you'll hear me say, "Now we continue in worship as we give our tithes and our offerings," and you think it's just a segue, it's just a way to transition. No, I mean it when I say it. We say, "This is my offering." Now you think of all of the people that come to church empty-handed. Over the holidays, I had an opportunity to speak to another pastor, and in his church, unlike ours, in his church, the pastoral staff are able to know what people give. Here at the Moody Church, giving is totally confidential. It is known only to the person who fills out a form and sends it to you as to what your contributions were. But they discovered that about a third of their membership, we're talking members here, not attenders, we're talking members, about a third of their membership didn't give anything. So they sent them a letter. And they thanked them for being a member and so forth. But then they asked this question. They said, "Does this represent your financial goals for the year?" That's a good question. Does it represent your financial goals? And these people come before the Lord Sunday after Sunday, and they bring nothing to the Lord. Nothing. There was a biography written about a Duke Wellington. Duke Wellington. And the writer of the biography said that he came across an account book by the Duke that indicated all of his expenditures. And he said that that account book told me more about the Duke than all of his speeches and letters. My friend, it is really true that our account book, our bank book, tells us more about us than all of the songs that we sing and all of the letters and the pronouncements that we make. And so the Bible says very clearly that giving is worship. Giving is worship. Now, I need to stress today that it is so important to realize that when I speak about giving as I did today and about investments, because what happens is when you invest for the Lord, it is indeed eternal, and the dividends we'll explain in another message. But there are some of you here who've never received God's free gift. See, the reason that we give is because we have been given to. God has given us a gift in Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity of the gift of eternal life. And because of that gift, we give. And that's why I conclude today's message with these words. If you have never received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, if you've never believed on him and received that gift, then I can tell you, it is much better that you not give. Because you might think that in giving, you can somehow give your way into God's favor. And you can't. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gives eternal life to those who believe. And once we've received that eternal life, then what we want to do is to say, Lord, all of the money that I have is yours. I know I can't spend it all. I can't give it all away because I've got bills to pay and mortgages and I need to be able to live. But I do have a question, Lord. What will you have me to do? And then you begin to live differently and you enter into the joy, the genuine joy of giving to the Lord. That's where it's at. Well, let us pray. Our Father, we want to thank you so much for this account, this story of the faithfulness of your people. And we ask, Lord, that at the beginning of this series that you might help us to understand that it's not about money, it's about us, it's about our hearts. It is a fact that we are your offering. We stand in the offering basket. And we say, Lord, here I am. Show me your will and show me what I must do. And now, Father, we ask for those who perhaps have never received the free gift of eternal life. Help them to understand that that is the fundamental issue and everything else flows from it. We thank you that because God gave and we've received, that we can be generous. Teach us, Lord, to trust you, to believe you, and thank you for all the good things you are teaching us as we go through this time of economic uncertainty. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, today the bottom line is simply this, that we should be generous because God is generous to us. Having been given much, we should be very anxious and pleased to be able to give. This is Pastor Lutzer. 2 points before I end today. First of all, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the most important decision you could ever make. And to receive that gift, you come cap in hand, as it were. It is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life to all who believe. It does not come about by giving. It does not come about because we've earned it. It comes as a gracious gift. If you've never received it, that is much more important than you giving a gift of money to any organization. Secondly, I want to tell you that this network where you are listening to Running to Win, has been a tremendous blessing to all of us. And I know that it is a blessing to you. As you consider your own giving, I would encourage you to give to this network, because they are faithful in sharing the good news of the gospel in so many different parts of the United States and around the world. Together we are partners. And as I think about the opportunity of giving, I'm always reminded that the kingdom of God is much broader than any one ministry, any one church. And together we can do so much more than we could possibly do separately. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Worship That God Accepts, the first of 4 messages on investing for eternity. Sometimes a small gift is of more value than a big one. On our next Running to Win, join us to learn about those times when giving less is more. All 4 messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.